other thing that I noticed in the park, as for the mother, she was depressed. She was overwhelmed. She was stressed. I could see her anxiety, and therefore her parenting skills were very, very much lacking. And I could also see that she had not sought early intervention for her child, or else her behavior would have been totally different in the park that day. Now, if you've recently found out that your child might have autism spectrum disorder, it's okay. You're probably wondering and worrying about what comes next. No parent is ever prepared to hear that a child is anything other than happy and healthy. And autism spectrum diagnosis can be particularly frightening.
Finally, a psychotherapist that focuses on helping people strive for self-awareness and thrive for self-satisfaction with their place in the world. It's a show for real people with real lives, with all the drama, trauma, and chaos that life can throw at you. Here she is, Dr. Bev.
Dr. Bev was in the park the other day, and I happened to notice a young lady, maybe she was in her early 20s, maybe 25 or so. She was reading a book and had her earphones on, and it looked as if she was alone. But soon I noticed that as she would look up from her book every once in a while, she would scream at this little boy that was across the park from her, "Stop!" And she'd call his name, "Stop! Be quiet! Don't take their toys! Why can't you understand me?" And I went, "Huh? What?" Now, you know I'm a child's advocate, and you know how I feel about children and parenting. So I continued to watch. I noticed that this little boy, who appeared, as I said, to be around the age of 4 or so, was playing with his 1-year-old brother, and he seemed to avoid direct eye contact. Not only did he avoid direct eye contact, he seemed like he preferred to play by himself, but the mother wanted him to play with his little brother, and he began to be aggressive, and the two kids fought over the toy, and pretty soon the little boy saw some other children, and he got up from where he was sitting and he went over to the children that he didn't know, and they were playing ball, and he snatched their ball and he began to run around the little park area with the ball. Now, the other mother started screaming, you know, yelling to her child, "Come back, come back, come back." She didn't want him to go too far away. So she went over to the little boy to retrieve the ball. And as she did, as she became closer to the child, I noticed that his facial expression was really inappropriate for that moment. It was like he didn't understand personal boundaries. And as the young lady, the mother, went to take the ball for her child, the other mother finally looked up again from her book, and she slammed it down on the bench, and she went over to the child and she grabbed him by his arm. And Dr. Bev is trying to keep her cool and not say anything, because you know I will open my mouth, okay? I will open my mouth and holler out. That's inappropriate parenting. But nonetheless, I sat and I watched, and I noticed again she went back to her bench after she had chastised the child in an inappropriate way. But nonetheless, she went back to her bench and she put her earphones back on and began to read. And I just wondered, does she not know that there's something going on with her child? So I continued to watch him. And as I watched him, I realized he started flapping his arms and screaming. And then he began to, after maybe about 3 or 4 minutes, he began to rock his body back and forth as if he was trying to calm himself. And then he began to spin around in a circle. And I went, whoa, there it is. That's a child that has autism. That's a child that is a special needs child. Does his mother not know this? Why is she sitting on the bench? Why is she reading her book? Does she have earphones in her ear? Why is she not paying attention to her children and interacting with them appropriately? Whew, that's where the story stops. So Dr. Bev has got to give you some knowledge and education. And I want to talk about autism and special needs children. If you didn't know, you will know after this show. I will give you tips, cues, where to get help, as much information as I can fit into this show, I will. And if I have to have a part two to help other people understand what is going on with their children who are special needs and how much care and attention they need, then therefore, this is Emotions Are Us. What? And I'm on America Out Loud. I will do it. Say it. Be raw, real, and authentic with it. Now let's start school. First of all, I want you to know that for Dr. Bev, autism and special needs children, I call them my angels. There was a time in my life several years ago where I took a year and a half off of my practice to work in a school for exceptional children. And these are children who had the whole spectrum of autism. And autism, it is called ASD. That's an acronym for it, and you may hear me use it during the show. Autism Spectrum Disorder. It's a developmental disability caused by differences in the brain. Scientists do not know yet exactly what causes these differences for most people with ASD. However, some people with ASD have a known difference, such as a genetic condition, and there are multiple causes for ASD, although most are not known yet. For Dr. Bev, one of those things that I have seen in my practice is sex, drugs, and rock and roll, okay? When you're getting ready to conceive, prepare to conceive. Don't take it for granted. No drinking, no smoking, no doing dope, none of that. Especially when you're exchanging fluids and a baby might be conceived out of that. I'm just saying, you might want to slow down, okay? It's very, very important. Now, there's often nothing about people who have ASD or disabilities that you look at them and it sets them apart from other people. They may be able to communicate. Some may be able to interact, behave, and learn in ways that are different from most other people. The learning, thinking, and problem-solving abilities of people with ASD can range from gifted to severely challenged. Some people with ASD need a lot of help in their daily lives. I want to also be clear that when I say children with disabilities, it could be Down syndrome. It could be many other things because the spectrum is so wide in terms of autism, Down syndrome, Asperger's. It's a whole range of disabilities. So understand that I'm talking about disabilities in total. First of all, I want you to know how common this is, because most people, I don't think, really realize how common it is. Do you know that more than 200,000 children in the U.S. are born per year? What? Yes. And I want you to know that it can't be cured, but treatment may help many, many children. It's chronic. It can last for years, but more than likely, it can last for a lifetime. It requires a medical diagnosis. Autism spectrum disorders impact the nervous system. The range and severity of the symptoms can vary widely. Common symptoms include difficulty with communication, difficulty with social interactions, obsessive interests, repetitive behaviors, early recognition, as well as behavioral, educational, and family therapies may reduce the symptoms and support. As for autism, it's most common in males. It's very, very common. And that these children can grow to be as old as 60 plus years old. I want you to just sit and think on that for a minute. If you have a child, a special needs child, understand that you not only need to think about yourself, but you need to think about yourself when you are gone, when you may have died. What's going to happen to your child? We need to make provisions for that. But I'll talk about that a little later in the show. If you're worried that your child has autism spectrum disorder or Down syndrome, you may notice it as early as 6 months, but definitely within the first 2 years of life. Please, please, I beg of you, if you know someone or you yourself find yourself in that position, don't wait for a diagnosis to get your child into treatment. Early intervention during the preschool years will improve your child's chances for overcoming his or her developmental delays. Early intervention during the preschool years will improve your child's chances of overcoming his or her developmental delays. So look into treatment options and try not to worry if you're still waiting on a definitive diagnosis. Putting a potential label on your child's problem is far less important than treating the symptoms. As I began the show earlier, talking about the mother in the park with her two children, one perhaps age 1 year old, the other looked to be about three or four at the most, I would say. What caught my attention the most was the emotional difficulties that the four-year-old, who appeared to me to be autistic. Children with autism spectrum disorders have difficulty regulating their emotions or expressing them appropriately. That's what I saw the child doing in the park. For instance, your child may start to yell or cry or laugh hysterically for no apparent reason. That's what I noticed about the little boy in the park. He started to yell. He started to cry. As the child became stressed, he began to exhibit disruptive and aggressive behaviors, breaking things, hitting others, or harming him or herself. The National Dissemination Center for Children with Disabilities also notes that children with ASD may be unfazed by real dangers like a moving vehicle or heights, yet they may be terrified of harmless objects such as a stuffed animal. So again, if you're worried that your child has ASD or Down syndrome or whatever disability they may have, seek intervention early. There are many things that a parent can do to help children with autism spectrum disorder and overcome their challenges. But it is also important to make sure that you, the parent, get the support you need. Focusing right now on autism, I want to let parents know that there are many things that you can do to help your child with autism spectrum disorder and overcome their challenges. But it is also important to make sure the parent, get the support you need. When looking after a child with autism spectrum disorder, taking care of yourself is not a luxury or an act of selfishness. It's a necessity. Being emotionally strong allows you to be the best parent that you can be to your child in need. Now, I will give you some parenting tips, but I want to go back to my story. The other thing that I noticed in the park, as for the mother, she was depressed. She was overwhelmed. She was stressed. I could see her anxiety, and therefore, her parenting skills were very, very much lacking. And I could also see that she had not sought early intervention for her child, or else her behavior would have been totally different in the park that day. Now, if you've recently found out that your child might have autism spectrum disorder, it's okay. You're probably wondering and worrying about what comes next. No parent is ever prepared to hear that a child is anything other than happy and healthy. And autism spectrum diagnosis can be particularly frightening. You may be unsure about how best to help your child, or confused by conflicting treatment or advice. Or you may have been told that ASD is incurable, a lifelong condition, leaving you concerned that there is nothing you can do that will make a difference. Now, I have to share the other part of this story, because I did have to talk to the young lady. I could not, after sitting for more than 30 minutes, watching the behavior between the child, the children, and the mother, not say something. I mean, this is Dr. Bev. I am Emotions Are Us. And I just simply asked, you know, how's your child? What's going on? I noticed his behavior on the park. She said, oh, well, they told me he had autism, but, you know, I don't believe that. I just stay in prayer, and I just know that God is going to cure him. Poor thing. I just looked at her, and I understood. You know what? It's not your child that really needs some help right now. It's you. This is a lifelong condition. And I left her with that and my card so that in any way that I could be of help to her when she finished her process to please seek help. While it is true that autism spectrum disorder, I'm telling you, it's not something that a person simply grows out of. There are many treatments that can help children acquire new skills and overcome a wide variety of developmental challenges. There's so much free help, from government services to home behavioral therapy, school-based programs. Assistance is available to meet your child's special needs. And yes, you as a parent have to follow up on that. You have to keep that consistency going. If you have your child in a program such as that, with the right treatment and a lot of love and support, your child can learn, grow, and thrive, just as you will learn from your child and grow and thrive. And again, as I said, don't wait for a diagnosis. We can all pray. But also be about something. Do something. Do something for yourself and do something for your child.
You're listening to the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. It's where we say, let the silent voices be heard. We invite you back to AmericaOutLoud.com to get all the latest. Make it a daily stop and also get the app. You go right to the App Store and download our free app, and that will put all our content right into your hands on your phones and your tablets. It doesn't get any easier than that.
As a parent of a child with autism, spectrum disorder, or any related developmental delays, the best thing you can do is to start treatment right away. Seek help as soon as you suspect something is wrong. Seek help as soon as you suspect something about my child, something's not right here. Don't wait to see if your child will catch up later or outgrow it, or you don't even have to wait for an official diagnosis. A mother or a father knows when there's something not quite kosher about their kid. There's something about their child is they're not meeting their developmental progress as you would expect. If you see that happening, again, I say, the earlier the child with autism spectrum disorder gets help, the greater their chance of treatment for success. Early intervention is the most effective way to speed up your child's development and reduce the symptoms of autism over their lifespan. Remember, Dr. Bev said, an autistic child will grow up. They will be 15 years old, 30 years old, 50 years old, 60 plus years old, and they will still be autistic. When you learn that your child has autism, pay attention. Don't run away from the problem. Continue to pray, but as I say, do something. Learn about autism. I believe that from this point forward in the show, we're going to focus mainly on autism and separate my other shows, because I definitely see a part two to this for Down syndrome and other disabilities and delays. But we're going to focus on autism for now. Learn about autism, because the more you know about autism spectrum disorder, the better equipped you will be to make informed decisions for your child. Educate yourself about the treatment options. Ask questions. Participate in all treatment decisions. It's as simple as that. It's not easy. It can be done. I've seen it being done. As I said, I took a year off of my practice and I worked in an exceptional center for special needs children. And there I taught children the Train Your Brain program that I offer. And I wanted to see if it would work on that population. And guess what it did? I had one young lady in my class. She was 18 years old. For you that don't know, a child with disabilities, they're able to stay in public school until they're 22 years old. At the time that I got this child, she was 17. When I looked at her IEP, that's a report that follows the child through school, each teacher has to review it, update it, etc., etc. When I finally read her report, because I wanted to get to know the young lady first. When I read her report, I was appalled. The first sentence on her IEP said, she is a nice girl. What? She is a nice girl? Please tell me how that was going to help me as a teacher. Well, I've learned after sometime that one of the things that her mother wanted her to do was write her name with a pencil. Her mother figured if she could just write her name with a pencil, she would just be happy. Well, that wasn't happening, because as I noticed and paid attention to this young lady, each time this teacher's aide would sit with her and they would do what they call a hand over hand. They would put their hand over her hand and put the pencil in her hand and guide her hand to write her name. Each time the child touched the pencil, she would begin to scream and holler as if her hands were on fire, and definitely she would get aggressive, she would get angry, she would want to run out of the classroom. So after watching for a while and just paying attention, I'm like, okay, wait a minute, hold up. There's got to be a different way. Is something about this pencil or this material in her hand that is uncomfortable for her? Later, I learned it was sensory. She could not, the feel of the pencil to her felt like needles sticking in her fingers. So she didn't want to do that. So instead, what Dr. Bev did was, okay, we don't need a pencil. We have a computer. Let's learn how to type. I don't know if many of you remember the Mavis typing program that you could teach yourself to type. Well, I got one of those for her, put it in the computer. It didn't take her not even a week to learn how to type. So that's how we began teaching her, was on the computer. So I would give her paragraphs. First it was a name. First it was learning her address, typing it out, whatever, and just small things, and then maybe a list of words. And one day I was teaching the rest of the class, and they had been taught, which all the other teachers told me could not be done, was to raise their hand, snap their fingers, and I would turn around and look at them and pay attention to their needs. Well, the young lady did exactly that. I'd given her 10 pages to type. She had typed all 10 pages, and I'm like, okay, I'm teaching the rest of the class. What will I do? Well, I was teaching the class from the newspaper, that day's newspaper. So I gave her the front page of the newspaper. And I thought, okay, this is going to take some time. She's not going to get this, right? But what I noticed was that she looked at the newspaper and she took her finger and she ran her finger across each and every line until she got to the end of the page. Then she put her hands on the computer and she began to type every word, letter, number, the complete page. Even when it got time for lunch, she was so enthralled with what she was doing that she didn't want to stop, which made me so, so very happy. Well, after we did come back from lunch, she immediately returned to the computer and she continued typing. When she was done, she did the appropriate thing. She held up her hand, she snapped her fingers, and I went over to the computer and I looked, and to my amazement, this young lady had typed every single word, letter, everything, exactly as it was on the page. I could not believe it. I called her mother immediately. Come to the school. You've got to see this. And I'm like, you just got to come. You just got to come. Well, when her mother came, she broke down in tears. She never thought that her daughter had that kind of ability. Well, the long and short of the story is her daughter was a savant, S-A-V-A-N-T. She was a savant. Approximately 10% of the people with autism spectrum disorders have special savant skills, such as Dustin Hoffman, who portrayed in the film Rain Man. The most common savant skills involve mathematical calculations, calendars, artistic and musical abilities, and feats of memory. For example, an autistic savant might be able to multiply large numbers in his or her head, play a piano concerto after hearing it only once, or quickly memorize a complex map. Well, that's what this young lady was. And after much hard work and difficulty, Dr. Bev had her retested. And this, to this day, she is older. She is 22. She is working at a law firm, and she does all of their filing for a huge law firm. This girl knows where each and every file is and can pick it up in a millisecond for you because her memory is that sharp. From that, it was such a beautiful, that's why I call autistic children my angels, because when she came to me, her mother thought the only thing she could do or wanted her to do was write her name with a pencil. This young lady is now making a salary. She's going to work every day. She has a schedule, and she is living life on her terms. What a beautiful story. What a beautiful story. It makes me happy every time I tell it. Please share that with someone you know. Please become an expert on your child. Figure out what triggers your child's challenging or disruptive behaviors and what elicits a positive response. What does your child find stressful or frightening, calming or uncomfortable or enjoyable? If you understand what affects your child, you will better be able to troubleshoot the problems and preventing or modifying situations that can cause your child difficulties. Most of all, I want to tell parents, please accept your child, quirks and all. They're angels. Rather than focusing on how your autistic child is different from other children or what he or she is missing, forget that, please. Practice acceptance. Pray for acceptance. Enjoy your child's special quirks. Celebrate your child's small successes. And stop comparing your child to others. Comparing is nothing but shaming, and it does not help you, and it doesn't help your child. Feeling unconditionally loved and accepted will help your child more than anything else. And that was one of the things that I said to the mother in the park. Your child feeling unconditionally loved and accepted will help your child more than anything else. And most of all, please don't give up. It's impossible to predict the course of autism spectrum disorder. Don't jump to conclusions about what life is going to be like for your child. Like everyone else, people with autism have an entire lifetime to grow and develop their abilities. I want to give you tip number one, helping your child with autism thrive. First of all, provide structure and safety. Learning all you can about autism and getting involved in their treatment will go a long way towards helping your child. The following tips I want to give you will help make daily home life easier for both you and your child with autism spectrum disorder. First of all, be consistent. Be consistent. That was one of the things I noticed about the young lady in the park, the mother in the park. She was not consistent with her children, either one of them, the one-year-old or the four-year-old. Be consistent. Children with autism spectrum disorder have a hard time applying what they've learned in one setting, such as a therapist's office or school, to others, including the home. Yes, including your home. For example, Your child may use sign language at school to communicate, but never think to do so at home, and neither has the parent paid enough attention to the teacher to learn sign language his or herself so that she can communicate or he can communicate with their child in a way that the child is able to communicate. Creating consistency in your child's home environment is the best way to reinforce learning. Find out what your child's therapists are doing and continue their techniques at home. Explore the possibilities of having therapy take place in more than one place in order to encourage your child to transfer what he or she has learned from one environment to another. It is also so important to be consistent in the way you interact with your child and deal with challenging behaviors. Next, stick to a schedule. Children with autism spectrum disorder do best when they have a highly structured schedule or routine. Again, this goes back to consistency. They need and crave consistency. A schedule. Set up a schedule for your child with regular times for meals, therapy, school, bedtime, and try not to do your best. I know it's not always possible, but do your best to keep disruptions to this routine at a minimum. If there is an unavoidable schedule change, prepare your child in advance for that schedule change. Prepare your child in advance. Next tip is, please reward good behavior. Positive reinforcement can go a long way with children with autism spectrum disorder. So make an effort to catch them doing something good. Make an effort to catch them doing something good. Praise them. When they act appropriately or learn a new skill, being very specific about what behavior they're being praised for. Please be very specific about what behavior you're praising them for. And also look for other ways to reward them in their behaviors. When they act appropriately or learn a new skill, again, be very specific about what behavior they're being praised for. Also, look for other ways to reward them for good behavior, such as giving them a sticker or letting them play with their favorite toy. Next, create a home safety zone. And what I mean by that is, carve out some private space in your home where your child can feel relaxed, secure, and be safe. This will involve organizing and setting some boundaries in ways that your child can understand. Visual cues can be helpful, perhaps a colored tape marking areas that are off limits, labeling items in the house with pictures. You may also need to safety-proof your home. If your child is prone to tantrums or other self-injurious behaviors, you really want to safety-proof your home. Clutter is not your friend, and especially not to a special needs child who has autism. Connecting with your child who has autism spectrum disorder can be challenging, but you don't need to talk or even touch in order to communicate and bond with your child. You can communicate by the way you look at your child, by the tone of your voice, your body language, and possibly the way you touch your child. Your child is learning also to communicate with you even if he or she never speaks. You just need to learn his or her language. Also, look for nonverbal cues. If you are observant and aware, you can learn to pick up on the nonverbal cues that children with autism spectrum disorder use to communicate. Pay attention. As my nana used to say, that's all you need to do, and that's all you have to pay for, is pay attention. Now, pay attention to the kinds of sounds they make, their facial expressions. Pay attention to that. That's really important. The child may not be able to speak, but it may be able to learn, he or she may be able to learn sign language. Do that. Pay attention to the sounds they make, their facial expressions, the gestures they use when they're tired or hungry or want something. And most of all, figure out the motivation behind the tantrum. It's not only natural to feel upset when you are misunderstood or ignored. And it's no different with a child who has autism spectrum disorder. I want to say that again. Figure out the motivation behind the tantrum. It is not only natural to feel upset when you as the child is misunderstood or ignored. It doesn't feel good if it happens to you and with your child with autism spectrum disorder. There is no difference. When children who have autism spectrum disorder are ignored, they're going to act out. They are going to act out the same way you would as an adult. If you are being misunderstood, ignored, taken for granted, in some kind of way, you're going to act out. So when your child with autism spectrum disorder is acting out, it's often because you, the parent, is not picking up on their nonverbal cues. Throwing a tantrum is their way of communicating their frustration and getting your attention. Please do not tell Dr. Bev, "Oh, well, you know, he just screams and hollers because he just wants attention." You're right. He's trying to tell you something. He wants you to what? Pay attention to him or her. They're trying to communicate their frustration. A child coping with autism spectrum disorder is still a child. For both children with ASD and their parents, there needs to be more to life than just therapy. Schedule in playtime when your child is most alert and awake. Figure out ways to have fun together by thinking about things that make your child smile, laugh, and come out of his or her shell. Your child is likely to enjoy these activities most if they don't seem therapeutic or educational. And that's one of the things that Dr. Bev learned while teaching for a year and a half. Most of the things that my students did was by computers using puzzles. There's a program called JigZone. It's free. I would let them for their playtime get on to a JigZone puzzle. My young lady who I talked about earlier, who was a savant, she could complete a 193-piece puzzle made out of tiny lizards. Believe it. And this program, JigZone, also, JigZone.com, it also has a timer on it. And it has the time from all over the world, for people who've completed the puzzle the quickest, and how long does it take. And so it gives your child another way to learn numbers, to want to compete with his or herself to become better. It's fascinating. You just have to what? Pay attention. That's all you owe is pay attention. And as I said, make time for fun and don't make all your activities feel like, you know, we're there in a class and, you know, or in therapy. Just take it easy. Give them the activities that they can learn by, but still have fun with. It's a beautiful thing. There's a tremendous benefit that results from your enjoyment of your child's company and from your child's enjoyment of spending unpressured time with you. Play is an essential part of learning for all children, and it shouldn't feel like work. Who wants to work all the time? I don't. I want to go out and have fun too. Well, so does a child. Even if he or she has autism or Asperger's, anywhere in the spectrum, we all want to have fun. Pay attention to your child's sensory sensitivities as well. Many children with autism spectrum disorder are hypersensitive to light, sound, touch, taste, and smell. When I was a teacher and I found out that this information that most of the children, the students in my class, they were hypersensitive to light. Well, Dr. Bev went in really, really early one morning to her classroom and she painted all of the fluorescent light screens and stenciled numbers, ABCs, letters, months of the year, anything that they could learn from. So when they did come in the class and they did look up towards the light, it didn't bother them. They didn't get traumatized. They didn't emotionally act out. Instead, it began to be a fun thing. I also taught them and their parents, if you're going out to the store, say you're taking a child with Asperger's to Walmart. Really? Okay. All the lights in Walmart, all the noise, all the people. Well, and you're wondering why your child is having a temper tantrum? Well, I taught my parents and the children and gave them presents of this. Sunglasses. Going into Walmart, let your child wear some dark sunglasses so the light won't affect them. They're hypersensitive to that. If they're hypersensitive to sound, let them carry their iPod, put it the earbuds in so that they don't hear that noise around them. It's simple things like that that you can do to make it easier for your child to thrive in this world that they find themselves in. Now, some children with autism are undersensitive to sensory stimuli. You have to figure out what sights, sounds, smells, movements, or tactile sensation triggers your child's bad or disruptive behaviors. What elicits a positive response? What does your child find stressful, calming, uncomfortable? Remember the young student I told you about who, when she touched the pencil, it felt like it was needles sticking in her fingers, like her fingers were on fire? Well, that was a tactile sensation, the pencil, that triggered her disruptive behaviors. So when I realized that, okay, what can I do to make her less stressful, to make her calm, to make her comfortable? Oh, there's a computer. She doesn't have to write her name. She can type it out. She doesn't have to write her address. She can type it out for you. That's a wonderful thing. Stop, drop, and roll and pay attention. Another tip for you is to create a personalized autism treatment plan. Yes, that's what I said. Create a personalized autism treatment plan for your child. With so many different treatments available, it can be tough sometimes to figure out which approach is right for your child, making things even more complicated. You may hear different things or conflicting recommendations from parents or teachers or doctors, when putting together a treatment plan for your child, keep in mind that there's no single treatment that works for everyone. Each person on the autism spectrum is unique with different strengths and weaknesses. A good treatment plan will build on your child's interests, offer a predictable schedule, teach tasks as a series of simple steps, actively engage your child's attention in highly structured activities, provide regular reinforcements of behavior, and be an involved parent. Be involved with your children. Your child's treatment plan should be tailored according to his or her individual needs. You know your child best, so it's up to you to make sure those needs are being met. Yes, it's up to you to make sure that those needs are being met. You can do that by asking yourself the following questions. Number one, what are my child's strengths and his or her weaknesses? Two, what behaviors are causing the most problems? What important skills is my child lacking? Number three, how does my child learn best? Through seeing, listening, or doing? Number four, what does my child enjoy? And how can those activities be used in treatment to bolster my child's learning? Finally, keep in mind that no matter what treatment plan is chosen, your involvement as a parent is vital to your child's success. You can help your child get the most out of treatment by working hand in hand with their treatment team and following through with therapy at home. This is why your well-being is so essential. Please take care of yourself. You may also need to be in therapy yourself, and that's okay. You have a special needs child. It's not easy. So take your time. Pay attention to yourself and pay attention to your child. More tips. I want you to find help and support. Caring for a child with autism spectrum disorder can demand a lot of energy and time, and there may be days when you feel overwhelmed, stressed, and discouraging. Parenting in and of itself is never easy, and raising a child with special needs is even more challenging. In order to be the best parent you can be, it is essential for you to take care of yourself. Don't try to do everything on your own. You don't have to. There are many places that families of children with autism spectrum disorder can turn to for advice, a helping hand, advocacy, and support. I'd like to share with you another special story. It is of the most accomplished and well-known adult with autism and Asperger's. Her name is Dr. Temple Grandin. I learned so much from her. She has, for your parents, please go to YouTube. You can find many of her lectures and speeches on YouTube. You can also go to her website, Temple Grandin. Please Google her. She's fantastic in giving you advice, and in the books that she's written, it's just unimaginable. This person, let me tell you about Temple. She's a world famous animal scientist and an autism self-advocate. She has been included in 2010's Time 100, the magazine's annual list of the 100 most influential people in the world. And she has autism. This too can be your child. HBO produced a full-length film, Temple Grandine, G-R-A-N-D-I-N. Parents, do not dismay. You may have a Dr. Temple Grandine in your child.